Morning, church. For those who don't know me, my name's Richard, which probably doesn't matter that much, but that's who I am. and we were to have a video this morning, but the Lord really put it on my heart that I should speak, only for a short while, but nevertheless, He's given me something to say this morning. And I've always thought that when people are gathered together in the name of Jesus, it's a special time, because someone's already said already this morning that it's the Lord that's brought you here. Even if you're here as a non-believer, just to see what happens in church, you've been brought here by God, and a series of events that brought you here, and He's had His hand on all of those events. You might say, as a woman in Grafton said to me one time, "No, I'm not. I came here because I decided to come here," and I didn't have an answer for that. But I firmly believe that each one of us, been brought here by the Lord this morning to hear what He has to say, not what I have to say. So let's pray together. Father, I pray that this place would be set aside this morning for Your purposes. Father, I pray that there would be a line drawn around the borders of this room. It would be set aside as holy ground. It would be a time when You meet with Your people. I pray that the words that I speak would be Your words, Father, and not my words. And that You would bless the people with Your presence here this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have a mate called Joe Dwyer, and I rang him this morning to get permission to talk about him, so he's okay with that. He works on the railway in Brisbane, and he's a pretty knockabout sort of a bloke in Australian language. He's a guy who was brought up in a pretty tough way, a rugby union player and a man's man, in inverted commas, is what they say. And Joe worked on the railway, as on a gang on the railway, and worked his way up. And he went to a Catholic church. He was an altar boy, so he went to a Catholic church, and he didn't really know much about Jesus. He basically thought that if he went to church with his mum and dad, he would be good, and that's okay then. So he'd go back the next Sunday, and he said he felt strangely cleansed when he got out of church, but then he'd go back and live his naughty life, and then go back to church the next day. And of course, the inevitable happened when he was 18 or 19 and started to play football and knock around with his mates in pubs and stuff like that. He forgot about God entirely, certainly forgot about the church. And somewhere around when he was turned 30, he was in the Catholic church one Sunday morning, because it was a special time for his family, and he said he was powerfully touched by God. And by something that maybe was preached there, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit has dominion in all places and all times and space. And so Joe was changed forever, and he went running around much like I did about the same time, although I was 10 years older than Joe. I still am 10 years older than Joe. And he went running around trying to find the meaning of what was happening to him. Because he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, you see. He'd had this truth put into his heart by God, and all of a sudden he was a new creation. And he found himself at the same church as me sometime later. But that aside, soon after all that had happened to him, he was in Boston on holidays with his wife. Joe's got a lot in common with me, I have with him. He doesn't like going into dress shops with his wife, so she was in a dress shop and he was standing on the footpath. And so he was standing there, and a guy came along, and he had a Broncos jumper on. Joe had a Broncos jumper on, and he said to him, this bloke was walking along with his head hung down, and Joe said this bloke said to him something derogatory about his football jumper. and Joe being a little bit of a wild boy in the past, it came out of him, and he said, what's wrong with you, mate? And then this bloke poured out what was wrong with him. He was looking for a bridge in Boston to jump off. He was estranged from his wife. He decided that morning to commit suicide, and his family had rejected him, and a whole lot of stuff had happened in his life. And here was this crescendo, which was the morning he was going to end his life. And Joe said, I said to him, no, don't do that, mate. Let me pray for you. Now, Joe's been a new Christian for a matter of months. And he said, I put my hand on his shoulder and I started to pray for him. And all of a sudden, the power of God came. And he said, he went down on the ground. And he said, I followed him down. I thought he was having a heart attack or something. But he said, he was down on the ground weeping. And I was beside him continuing to pray. And then he looked up at me and he said to me, what was that? And Joe said, I didn't know what it was either. But he said, I just came out of my mouth, that was Jesus. He loves you so much that he's shown you his power this morning. And this guy said to him, where can I get more of that? He started to cry and started to weep. Joe said, I'll pray for you again. And he said, as I started to pray, the power of God came over him. I'm reminded that he was only 2 months into being a born-again Christian, Joe Dwyer. And he said, as I started to pray again, the power of God fell on both of us. And he said, Jesus talked him out of ending his life. He turned around and went the way he came. And he said, I've prayed for him ever since. His name was Dwayne. We might like to pray for Dwayne, but Joe likes to think that he's been restored and his family has taken him back. And Joe was a stitch in the road to the cross, I call it. I've always had this since the Lord touched me in 1993. I always had this idea that there was this flood of heavenly information came into my heart, and I call it the treasure from heaven. And I know that we all have it, all of those who have turned to Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4:7 it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that it is all this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And you know, I know that I've spoken about this before, and you might be thinking, here's Richard talking about the Holy Spirit again. It's just that I can't stop talking about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God living in us. And everybody has this Spirit of God living in them. You do, every one of you who have turned to Jesus. I actually have this book, which I have beside me in the morning when I'm reading the Bible. And I have a pencil that I have to write down what I think maybe God's wanting me to say. And this was before I knew I was going to preach today. The Lord asked me to preach on Thursday. There's a lot more to that. There's prayer and lots of things, and there are people in the church who've stood beside me in prayer. Prayer is so wonderful and powerful. It's our way of talking to our Father in heaven, one of the ways at least. And so here's what I wrote down, and I know that it comes from God because I write differently. I shake a little bit. You should try this. Ask God to give you a word and have a pen and a piece of paper. It's like this. It's nothing too profound, but it's affirmation of what I've just been saying. We, each one of us, has been given the treasure of truth from heaven. It happened at the time of your repentance and when you... Each one of us has been given the treasure of truth from heaven. It has happened at the time of your repentance and when you... vowed to follow in the steps of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is now your guide. This gift of treasure from heaven is to be shared and not stored. The Lord will prompt us from time to time that we might be used to bless others with this profound richness that is our treasure from heaven. So I thought I'd let you know about something that happened to me in Noosa, and there's plenty of people here that I've already told this story to, but I just thought I'd recount it because it sort of fits in with what I'm talking about this morning. I know that I've told this story in our home group, so if there's others who've heard it, please bear with me. It's just take it in the context of the way this short word this morning is coming together. I was at Noosa on holidays with my wife, and it just so happened that it was a weekend of a spiritual festival. So you had representatives in Noosa from all different kinds of religions. Hare Krishnas, Buddhists, New Age people, blah, blah, blah. All these people, not a great representation of Christians, I must say. Most Christians run away from such events. I have a friend in Brisbane that when the same sort of thing is held at Southbank, she runs and sets up a stall and says, and the banner across the front of the stall is free prayer. Everything that's free, people tend to go to. So she said, I've never prayed for so many people in all my life. It's amazing. Why shouldn't we be represented at a spiritual festival? I was at an ice cream shop, and I was, and Carol was beside me, and it was one that steps up from the street. It's not there anymore. It's on the corner in the main roundabout there at Noosa. And I was waiting my turn, and there was a lady in a wheelchair sitting there, and her husband was beside me. And the Lord said to me very clearly, go and pray for that woman in the wheelchair. I want you to do this, Richard. I want you to pray. I had it very clearly in my mind. I'm trying to buy an icy pole, and I'm thinking, and there's lots of people around. And then I thought, oh, Lord, it mustn't be you talking to me. It must be just something weird going on in my brain. Richard, I want you to go and pray for that woman in the wheelchair. And then I said back to the Lord again, Lord, I'll wait until she goes down the road when there's less people around and I'll pray. So as I'm doing this, I'm peeling a piece of paper off the edge of the ice cream that I just bought, and it slipped and it landed right in front of her at her feet. I said, okay, Lord, down I go. And I thought to myself, a husband's not going to be very happy about me kneeling down in front of her, but I'll just put all of that aside, and I sat down, knelt beside her, and I said, look, my name's Richard. I've just been prompted by God to come and kneel in front of you. I just want to pray for you that you would be healed and that you would receive a blessing that God has for you. I'm not quite sure what it is. Is that okay? And she got this big smile, and she said, that is the most beautiful thing. Thank you so much. Please pray for me. God doesn't set up appointments so that we'll be rejected when we get there. He's already prepared the heart of the lady. I prayed over her. She was blessed. Her husband came down and he said, thank you for praying for my wife, or words to that effect. And so that was that. And everyone got on with what they were doing for the day. I've only got one page of notes and I'm nearly to the end. So everyone will be pleased to know. So this truth from heaven that we all carry in our heart is something that's been very dear to me, because if you are able to hear from God and call on his resources, you have them with you, you see. The other thing that God does is he'll show you through the Holy Spirit when not to speak. The world is full of Christians who are speaking out of turn. I don't know if you've noticed or not. And quite often Christians are given a bad name by people speaking in worldly terms instead of heavenly terms. And the only way you can speak in heavenly terms is to listen to God himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. And quite often he'll be saying to you, say nothing, Richard. Move on. I was walking back from the Carrolls to get my truck to go back up there after it was over, and there was only me on the footpath. I parked down the back of the the car park for the mall there. I keep on calling that the wrong thing. It's not a mall. It's the, what's it called? The Plaza. It's called the Plaza. Yeah. So I was down there. So I noticed this guy walking beside me, and there was no one else around. This young man, and he said to me, "I actually think that the carols were so wonderful because no one was ashamed of Jesus. Everybody was happy to sing about Jesus." It's only a young guy in his early 20s. And I said to him, "I think so too." We're continuing to walk. And he said, "I'm a new Christian. I only was born again 2 months ago," I think he said, 2 or 3 months ago. "And I've started to go to a Seventh-day Adventist church." And I said, "Well, that's lovely." And he said, "How long have you been a Christian?" I told him, "Well, before he was born." And he said, "What do you think? What do you think?" And I said to him, "The faith that has been planted in your heart came from God himself, from the throne room of God. What I think is, hang on to it and don't let it go. There'll be distractions from right, left and centre, but you are now in possession of the truth and the treasure from heaven. Don't let it go." So we got on our way. I thought about that afterwards and thought, gee, I would have liked to have talked more to him. He's a lovely young bloke. As we come to the end of 2023, I'd encourage everybody who's had a pretty tough 2023, and there are several in this room I know, who've lost loved ones, who've suffered various kinds of sickness, who might be under financial stress, relationship stress, just to mention a few. I'd like to encourage you that your faith is eternal. Your life with Jesus is eternal. If you want affirmation of that through the power of the Holy Spirit, please, I'm sure Maggie will do the same. Come down the front after this service is over and we'll pray for you. You never know what the Lord might do. You might end up like the guy in Boston on the footpath. But we never second guess what God might do in any circumstance, because he has dominion over all things, all time, all space. One thing I do know that stays constant is his absolute devotion and love for you personally. Jesus loves you so much. We have no way of comprehending the depth and width and power of his love for us individually. The world gets in the way, of course. The power that is in us is greater than the power that is in the world. The Holy Spirit, I'm just going to read again very quickly as I finish. The Holy Spirit is patient. The Holy Spirit is kind. It doesn't envy and it doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. The Holy Spirit doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, he always trusts, he always hopes, and he always perseveres. That's the truth that's in us. And if they were attributes we exhibited externally ourselves in our everyday lives, we would be very popular people. People would come to us always. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You might recognise those words. They come from 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. And they refer to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is the Holy Spirit. The love of God for us personally. The love of God is in us. You might be tangled up with work and worry and money and relationships and unforgiveness and pride and addiction. And I'd encourage you to pray and read the Word of God and earnestly seek after God. Because these things that I've just mentioned cause static on the line. I know I've referred to this before as Jimmy Little's Telephone to Glory. You can feel the current moving down the line. An Aboriginal country singer who loved the Lord, and he sang that song, Telephone to Glory, Oh What Joy Divine. You can feel the current moving down the line. You can speak to Jesus on this royal telephone. There's a lot of static on that phone line that's caused by external things in our lives. And my prayer for you and me this year, or for the new year, is that we just press in and earnestly seek after God through his word, through prayer, through meeting together like this. And may God bless every one of you. Let's start 2024 by listening to the call of God. And finally, here's a word of encouragement for all of us, including me. This came to me in an unusual way, but I believe it's from God for you. Your love for the Lord is clearly seen. May God bless us all abundantly. And may the coming year be filled with joy, peace, and prosperity for you and your loved ones. Amen.
Thank you for sharing your word with us, Richard. It's very encouraging. Did you notice that one of the things that really stood out in what Richard was saying, beside the fact that the presence of the Lord is within us, is that there were divine appointments? Every story was a divine appointment. And this morning, each of you have a divine appointment with God. When we said you're not here by accident, it's because the Lord wanted you to be here, because he wants to speak into your hearts and into your lives personally. So what I'm going to do is I want to take you on a little journey. And at the end of that journey, what I really want you to pay attention to is the fact that Jesus is going to ask you to hand over to him the things that this year has caused you grief and pain and disappointment and hurt and unforgiveness. And then once you've had a chance to talk with him about it and to give it to him, to write it down, and then in due course you will be invited to bring it up here to the manger. Actually, that's a bit dicey, isn't it? It's stuck. I can't move it. So one basket, this basket, for you to put it into as an offering this morning. Because he wants to take these things from you. It is impossible to walk into the new year and receive everything that God has for you if you are still carrying all the hardships and the struggles of the year just gone. It's a little bit like having a house. How many of you like new furniture and fresh things in your house? Anybody? How many of you still have furniture from 20 years ago? 30 years ago? 40 years ago? Yeah. And it's hard to part from them, isn't it? Because they've become a part of us. But when is our lives, our hearts, our spirit is like a house that is full of things that are familiar and often old. And God has this whole new load of things that he wants to place into your lives that are new, but they won't fit until you let go of the old. And then God can bring in the new, and that's what he wants to do. So let's just go into a time of quietness. I'm just going to lead you into the presence. For those who find it hard to allow their imagination to flow, that's perfectly fine. Just sit in your favorite spot with Jesus, wherever that is, and then wait for me to lead you there. So close your eyes. Listen to the cicadas outside. Imagine yourself walking through the rainforest. There's a cool breeze. The cicadas are serenading you. Everything is clear and beautiful. And then you see this huge tree. It's just so big, and it's near the water's edge. And just go there and just sit down with your back against this huge tree. dangle your feet over the water's edge. It's cool and refreshing. And while you're sitting there, watch to your left, and you will see Jesus approaching you. He comes eagerly to meet with you. And he sits down and he rolls up his jeans and he puts his feet in the water next to you. And he takes your hand. And he says to you, I cherish you so much. I heard your pain this year. I heard your grief. I saw your disappointment. I saw your fear and your angst. I was right there. Now, in the quietness, just let me take these from you. You don't have to carry them anymore. So just stay with him, and he may have other words to speak into your life. Just listen. But just take from him those words of love right now and give away the things that you don't need anymore. Just let go. Surrender and receive all his beauty, all his grace, all his truth, all his healing, his hope, and his joy. Be ready to receive all that he has waiting for you in 2024. Things that will cause your hearts to sing and your spirits to soar. Don't let the past rob you of the present and the future. Give it away. Jesus, we ask that you help us to really let go, so we can enter the new year that you have ordained for us as a people free of all the things that bind us and drag us down, that we can walk in your freedom and in your presence, and that our greatest joy will be to bring a smile to your heart, that we will celebrate you in every possible way, that you will be glorified as we choose to walk continuously in your presence. We thank you in Jesus' precious name.